1964.
Never forget that song till the day I die. The Beatles, and I Want to Hold Your Hand. Alexander Goodfellow, WPGC. 10:13 on the Rock and Roll Generation. The year is 1964, and it's the British Invasion. I remember the first time I heard I Want to Hold Your Hand, it was a couple days after Christmas. The song actually really broke about the last week of 63, between Christmas and New Year's. And for Christmas that year, I had received a ping pong table, right? So myself and all my Chinese friends, no, really, we were just downstairs in the basement. I remember playing ping pong, and we had WPGC on, this is no joke, and they played I Want to Hold Your Hand about 400 times in one day. And, you know, the disc jockeys were excitedly talking about, you know, these guys have long hair and there are four of them and one has a big nose and one of them is married and the other one's beautiful and the other one has crooked teeth. And they kept playing this song all day long. And from that point on, for about the next 4 months, you heard nothing but Beatles stuff. And when you didn't, it was apt to be something like this by the Dave Clark Five.
Happy.
Dave Clark, 5 and Glad Oliver from the rock and roll generation, the year 1964. Alexander Goodfellow, WPGC. About the one thing that let parents accept these groups from Britain more than they did would have Elvis Presley back in the 50s was the fact that the Beatles and the Dave Clark 5 and other groups patterned directly after them, Herman's Hermits, people like that, was the fact that even though their hair was a little long and they were sort of odd-looking, they were clean and they were cuddly. They sang nice music. They didn't want to take advantage of little girls. They just wanted to hold hands. They didn't want to kiss or hold the little girls tight. They just wanted to dance all night. But the one difference was the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones weren't really that nice, and they didn't even look clean. They looked sort of scruffy, and they never really smiled on their album covers. They sort of just looked sort of mean, and in person, they looked sort of mean. And their lyrics, they sang about... they sang about girls in a light that wasn't really that nice. You know, they wanted to take advantage of them or something like that. Of course, this turned a lot of people on, too. But they weren't quite sure why, because people weren't really analyzing rock music at that time the way they are today. And the Rolling Stones are the only group out of those big three back in 64 who were still together. And they have just naturally progressed, but they haven't progressed so far as, say, the Beatles have. Not that this is bad. The Stones have a certain element that still appeals. They're sort of dark and satanic and so forth like that. They really fit in well in 1971, whereas the Beatle freshness of 64 has no place in 1971. Not all the music in 1964, though, was from England. There were still some tunes coming out domestic-wise. One of these was the biggest of the whole year, almost. By the Kingsmen from 1964, actually late 63 and about the first 3 months of 64. That song became such a classic that people in rock and roll bands in later years, every rock and roll band in 64, they would do I Want to Hold Your Hand, they would do things like Bits and Pieces, and they would all do Louie Louie. And years later, rock and roll musicians, when talking about how they first started out being rock and roll musicians, they would say, well, I was in a Louie Louie band, because that explained it all. You just played a simple song like da 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 da. It was so easy to play on the guitar. Anybody could pick up a guitar and go da da da. do-do-dum, and you didn't even have to know the lyrics, because you could go, Louie, Louie, ah, baby, and then years later people said, well, Louie, Louie is really dirty. If you played at 33 and then record it backwards and speed it up to 78, at the rear end of the song, the guy says, you know, blank or something like that. No matter how you tried it, it never worked. It was like trying to figure out how, from records, you could tell Paul McCartney was really dead years later in 69. The WPGC environment, mostly cloudy tonight, lows to 33. I figured that out. Rain tomorrow. Temperature is something like today, except it's going to be wet. Right now, the good guy degrees are 46. I'm Alexander Goodfellow. This is WPGC's Rock and Roll Generation. The Rock and Roll Generation year is 1964. In 1964, of course, like any year before it and every year since then, teenagers were falling in love, or at least so they thought they were, according to authorities. Dear Abby would say, it's just infatuation. Margaret Mead would say it was sexual attraction. But teenagers said it was love. That's all there was to it. And there were songs about teenage love and about separations over the summer that were always a drag. And people would invariably write songs about them, sing them, and sell millions of copies, like Brian Hyland did.
Though we gotta say goodbye for the summer, darling, I promise you this, I'll send you all my love. It's gonna be a cold, lonely summer, but I'll fill the emptiness. I'll send you all my dreams every day in a letter sealed with a kiss. I'll see you in the sunlight. I'll hear your
PGC, the Rock and Roll Generation. The time is 10:32, and the year this hour is 1964. If in California they were turning out surf music and hot rod music, in Detroit they were turning out rock and roll, foot stomp, and dance music. And Berry Gordy was responsible for most of it, and so was Martha Reeves.
Yeah.
greatest summer songs of all time. Dancing in the Street, Martha and the Vandellas, from the rock and roll generation year 1964. And during 64, Berry Gordy was just amalgamating one of the most impressive lineups of talent ever to be got by anybody. Berry Gordy's Motown Records had loads of people like Martha Reeves and the Vandellas, the Marvelettes, the Velvelettes, Marvin Gaye, the Supremes, the Four Tops, the Temptations, Stevie Wonder, Gladys Knight and the Pips, just an incredible amount of talent all under one record company, Berry Gordy's Motown Records, and his subsidiaries like Gordy Records and Soul Records and VIP Records and Tamla Records and so forth. And during the years to come, Berry Gordy would be responsible for some of the finest music to come out of the whole rock and roll generation taken as a whole. And that's, of course, is still true even today. Alexander Goodfellow, WPGC, it's 10:36. Most of it, and the bulk of the rest was taken up by American acts. There were still some acts coming from other parts of the world. One of these was a group from Canada who would have a big hit in 64 and then wouldn't be heard from again until spring of 1969. They were doing okay in Canada, where they were from. But in America, one hit in 64, not another one for 5 years. The group was the Guess Who, and the song was Shaken All Over. All over, Canada's Guess Who, their big hit in 1964 in the rock and roll generation. Alexander Goodfellow, WPGC, it's 10:41, and this is really 1971, in case you're getting a little confused here, and it's December 29th. New Year's Eve is coming up. If America was doing a certain amount and Canada was doing a little bit, it was still England's rule in 1964. They were just everywhere. You could buy Beatle wigs, you could get Beatle lunch boxes, you could, there was so much Beatle, you know, stuff on. You had Beatle trading cards, remember that? Beatle bubble gum? You know, tasted like bugs, but just amazing. Their tours were incredible. When they would come to America, I remember the first tour, they were arriving at LaGuardia Airport in New York. Say it was around like 11 o'clock in the morning when they arrived. So on radio stations all across the country, up until 11 o'clock, they would say T-minus 11 Beatle minutes and T-minus 10 Beatle minutes until the Beatles got off the plane. And they were met at the airport by just thousands of fans, and the police couldn't believe it. They just didn't know what was going on. You know, they'd seen crowds before for Queen Elizabeth or somebody big like that, maybe for John Kennedy. But never, you know, never anything like the Beatles. And the Beatles came to Washington on their first tour. They hit Baltimore Baltimore on their second tour. I made it to their second tour when they hit Baltimore. And the Baltimore Civic Center has only been sold out something like four times in all the years it's been open. And they sold it out. That was the second time the thing had ever been sold out, back in 64. The first time the Baltimore Civic Center had ever been sold out was, I think, 48, 49, something like that, when Frank Sinatra sold it out. The Beatles were the second to do so when they came and hit Baltimore in 1964. Just an incredible show. Girls passing out, they were carrying them off in stretchers, you know, and everybody was screaming the whole time. You couldn't even hear the music. Just an amazing thing. I'll never forget it as long as I live. But 64 was still it, and there was a guy by the name of Alan Price who was he had a group called the Alan Price Combo, and he played organ. And in 1962, there was a singer that joined his group called Eric Burdon. And Eric Burdon and Alan Price were two really scruffy-looking people. And all the fans of the rock and roll scene in England would always say, gee, you guys look like animals. So they kicked a couple guys out of the group they thought didn't look ugly enough, got some other people, and they called themselves the Animals. Alan Price, who was the organist and the leader of the group, actually, Eric Burdon wasn't. He wrote a song called House of the Rising Sun. They got together, whipped it out, cold, no overdubs or anything. They just went into a studio one day, cut it in one take, released it, and it became one of the all-time great rock and roll classics. House of the Rising Sun, The Animals, from 1964.
The continuing story of the rock and roll generation, 1964.
One, two, three, four! Look at me.
and roll generation. The year is 64. Beatles. I saw her standing there. 10:51 with Alexander Goodfellow from Good Guys Radio. And the WPGC environment, mostly cloudy tonight. Lows to 33. Rain tomorrow with temperatures about the same as they were today. Right now, the good guy degrees are 46. And at 64, like I said before, it wasn't all British, though at times you'd think it was, if you look at the oldie charts and so forth. One of the songs that was big in 64 wasn't really a rocker or anything like that. It was a straight ballad, and it was very popular with everybody, with teenagers, with adults, with all kinds of folks. And it was written by a little-known fellow by the name of Burt Bacharach, people would say in 64. If you said Burt Bacharach in 64, people would say, who? And probably if you said Dionne Warwick, they'd probably say, who? But if you said this song, they'd go, oh yes, I know that one.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on.
The year 64, Dionne Warwick with the Burt Bacharach tune called Walk On By. Alexander Goodfellow, WPGC. Rock and Roll Generation year this hour is 1964. And if the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and all these other people were a bit too hard for Ed Sullivan to relate to when he got him on their television show, there was one of the British acts which also had long hair and so forth, but they were so clean and cute and cuddly. They were even cuter and more cuddly looking than the Beatles were. And the little lead singer was a kid by the name of Peter Noon, who wasn't really from the lower side of life in England or anything like that. His parents were, you know, medium well-to-do, and he had a group called Herman's Hermits, and they weren't great innovators. They didn't write their own material for the most part. Their main big hit in 64 was probably this one, and it wouldn't be until 65 when they would really start taking off with things like Mrs. Brown, You've Got a Lovely Daughter, songs like that. But this one was a cover of a song that was also a hit in 64. They came out with it about a month or two after the original version came out, and they had more success with it, probably just because they were Herman's Hermits. I'm Into Something Good.
to see her and she told me I could.
Road, written by John D. Loudermilk, the Nashville Teens from the Rock and Roll Generation, year 1964. Alexander Goodfellow, WPGC number one. It's 11:03 on the Rock and Roll Generation. To close out 64, it's only appropriate we do it with a Beatles tune.
Close your eyes and I'll kiss you. Pretend that I'm missing the lips I am missing, and hope that my dreams will come true. And then while I'm away, I'll write home every day, and I'll send all my loving to you. All my loving I will send to you.
close your eyes.
And I'll kiss you.
Rock and Roll Generation, the year is 64, and those were the Beatles, of course, with All My Love and Alexander Goodfellow, WPGC. When we return, the Rock and Roll Generation will move ahead till 1964.